Thanks so much, Greg and team. Good morning, everybody. How you doing today? Good, good. Glad to see you. Welcome to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. And we are getting ready now for our teaching time, and we're in a message series that we're calling Great Church Fights from the book of 1 Corinthians. And today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'd like to start by telling you a nursery rhyme. So everybody get comfy, but not too comfy. And here's the story of the three little pigs. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. And one of the little pigs said, we need to build a house to live in. And so one of them said, let's build our house out of straw. And so they built their house out of straw. The big bad wolf came along and he said, let me in. And the little pig said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And the big bad wolf said, well, then I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. So he huffed and puffed and he blew the house down. Another little pig said, I know what let's do. Let's build a house out of sticks. And so that's what they did. And then the big bad wolf came along and he said, let me in. And the little pig said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin, yeah. And so I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. And he made good on his threat, and he actually did that. So then the little pig said, let's wise up, and let's build our house out of more substantive material here. Let's build a house out of brick. And they did so, and the big bad wolf came along, and he said, let me in. They said, not by the hair of our chinny chin chins. And he said, well, then I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. And the three little pigs said, well, go for it then. And so he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed, and he couldn't blow their house down. And the little pigs inside that brick house were safe and they were secure and they lived happily ever after. The moral of that story is build your house, build your life wisely and well by the hair of your chinny chin chin. Now, let's move on to a reality version out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as the Apostle Paul talks to us about building a church and building a life. You know, it's interesting that in the Bible will often use analogies and imageries and images. For example, the church is compared to a bride. And if you've ever been to a wedding, you know, it paints a picture. And the church is compared to a body. And the church is also compared to a building. You remember in the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. But in the New Testament, God has a people as his temple. And you are the temple of God. You are a building of God. And we are building a church, and we are building a life together, and you're building a life. You're building on a foundation, and then you're using some materials. In fact, let me just put a little, let me start here with an outline. Number one, let's put it up here on the screen. Every life in every church is under construction. And anytime something is under construction, you can just count on these four factors. Number one, there has to be a foundation. And anybody who knows anything about construction will tell you that foundation is key. Every homeowner in this room fears these two words, foundation trouble. Ever happened to you? Happened to me. Foundation is key. Secondly, you need some materials. You can use good stuff or you can use cheap stuff. And then there's an inspection process. This past year we had a porch built out back. I mean, we already had a little patio area, but we're going to have a covering built on it. And one day I'd come in from work, and one of the guys was doing some woodwork up there, and I knew that was going to be his last day. And I said, hey, it looks really, really nice. Really appreciate your work. And he said, oh, I'll be back tomorrow. He said, I didn't do a really good job right up here. If you'll look in the corner, I didn't do a really good job. So I'll be back tomorrow. And I said, well, I would have never noticed that. And he said, yep, but the boss man would. That was his phrase. The boss man would notice that. And so I got to be back tomorrow because there's going to be an inspection. And then last of all, some rewards or regrets. You know, you either get somebody saying, this is really good, or you have somebody saying, This is shabby work. Come on. Take a little pride in what you're doing here. The boss man either says, that passes inspection, or the boss man says, that's just not going to cut it. All right? Now, with that in mind, let's start reading 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as the Apostle Paul talks to us about building a life. Here we go. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. Take care how you build. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. We were just singing the song, Jesus is a firm foundation. That's the only solid foundation for a life and for a church. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death, and he is the death conqueror, and he offers his grace to all who will come to him in faith and repentance and surrender. That's Jesus. You can't build a church, a good church, on tradition. You can't build a good church on personality. The only thing you can build a church on, the only thing you can build a life on, is surrender and devotion to Jesus Christ. He is the solid foundation, period. Period. Now, verse 12. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, or straw. Excuse me? He says you can use materials that are really good materials, or you can use some materials that are just not very durable at all. If you're building a house, do you want to use good stuff or cheap stuff? Answer, good stuff. Now, you can go find some cheap stuff on sale, but you know what it is? It's cheap stuff on sale. And it's not going to last. I read not too long ago about a guy who walked into a Home Depot. He walks in, and the worker says, may I help you? And the guy says, yeah, I'd like some 4x2s. And the Home Depot worker said, don't you mean, sir, you want some 2x4s? He said, yeah, that's right, I want some 2x4s. And then the worker said, well, sir, how long do you want these? And the guy says, I want them for a long, long time. And see, that's what you want. You know, if you're building something, you want to use material that's going to last a long, long time. And he says, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, you're going to build a life on Jesus. You're going to build a life on the foundation of Christ. What makes you acceptable to God? Answer, it is Jesus Christ. But now you're going to start to build a life. And some people build a life, build a ministry using cheap material that's not durable, it's not going to last. And some people build a life on Jesus using gold, silver, costly stones. I mean, they're building a pretty good offering to the Lord here. He says, anyone who does that, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. The boss man is going to take a look. The Lord is not the big bad wolf, all right? But he does inspect. He does pay attention. And there is coming a day when my life gets evaluated. Now, you say, well, Ronnie, wait a minute. I thought that you were saved by grace. I am saved by grace. But my life will still be evaluated, and I'll be rewarded according to my works, and you'll be rewarded according to your works. You know, some Christians don't understand this. You are saved by grace. You are rewarded by your deeds. Jesus said you're going to be laying up treasure in heaven. That makes absolutely no sense unless you're laying up treasure in heaven. When the Apostle Paul was talking to the church in Philippi, he said, whatever you're giving to the cause, it is accruing to your account in heaven. Jesus said, whenever you even do something in a hidden way and you give a cup of cold water to somebody in the name of Jesus, God notices that, pays attention to that, he'll honor that. Jesus says, behold, I'm coming back. This is from Revelation chapter 22. And I bring with me my reward for everyone according to what that person has done. Did you know that people will be punished in varying degrees, and believers will be rewarded in varying degrees. Now, I got to tell you, my life is going to have some wood and straw and hay in it. It just will. But my life, hopefully, will have some gold and silver and some costly stones there as well, where I'm building my life, building a ministry, a service to Jesus out of some quality material. In other words, he pays attention and he's going to reward, and the reward doesn't always come immediately. Often it comes at that day. Verse 14, and if what he's been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. By the way, some of you have heard the term purgatory. It's a Catholic doctrine. And this particular passage of Scripture is the one used as a foundation for that. Now, you'll meet a lot of modern-day Catholics who don't hold to that perspective at all. But those who do will look at this particular scripture. This scripture is not teaching that in the afterlife there's heaven and hell and purgatory. And purgatory is a place where you are refined, if you need be, to end up going to heaven. This passage teaches that at the end of your life gets evaluated. It gets the torch test. It gets perused. And the Lord tests it. And some of my life is going to be wood, straw, hay. But the part that's going to last, the part that God is going to say, atta boy, atta girl, is that gold and silver and costly stones. Let me put a second point up here to underscore it, and that is that you are saved by grace and rewarded by quality craftsmanship. Ephesians chapter 2 says it like this. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's grace empowers you in that way. Your good works do not carry you to heaven, but they do follow you to heaven. I love this teaching from Revelation 14. It paints such a wonderful picture. I want you to think right now of a brother and sister in Christ who's already gone on. And the Bible says, out of Revelation 14, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, but their deeds will follow them. Gang, I just want to remind you, God pays attention to you. God pays attention to your life. And there in those quiet moments when nobody would see and nobody would notice, God pays attention when you tell the truth. God pays attention when you serve someone in love. God pays attention. God rewards. God notices. God applauds. Don't ever forget that. Now, what I'd like to do here, just but before I wind up for the morning, I want to throw out four tests. Four tests that we can take our life through, our service through, and sort of evaluate ourselves by these four tests. I'm going to try to make them memorable, and so I'm going to give, let each one start with a letter A. Make this as memorable as possible. And, you know, someday my life is going to stand before the Lord and it's going to be evaluated. I'd like to do that now, evaluate myself as responsibly as possible and help you do the same thing. Okay? Here's the first one, the test of ability. Ability. I mean, some people have more ability than others. Some people are more gifted than others. Some people have more money than other people. Some people have more time than others. Some people have more strength than others. Some people have better minds than others. Some people have more talents than other people. And the Lord says, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom little is given, to whom less is given, less is required. You remember that time Jesus was standing by the treasury and people were walking by and dropping in their offering for the day? And do you remember that woman who came in and who dropped in a couple of leptons, L-E-P-T-O-N, the widow's mites? And Jesus says, this woman has given more than anybody else. How could that be? She gave 2 cents because it was according to her ability. God knows the ability that I have. You know, some of you today, you may have given $10, and it was a huge, huge offering to God. If Martha and I wrote a check today for $50, I wouldn't feel good about it. We've been Christians too long. We are able to do more. God knows your ability. He knows my ability. When our children were little, sometimes they would, you know, do a drawing, give it to us. Your kids ever do that? Give you a drawing, and you look at it, and you think, that's no good. I mean, that's just no good. But what do you do with it? You take it, you put it up on the refrigerator. Why? Because that comes from your child, their heart to you, and you love it because... Is it a Van Gogh? No, it's not a Van Gogh. But for their ability, representing their heart, that's fantastic. I'm not as talented as you. I'm not as smart as you. I don't have what you have. I can't do what you do. God doesn't evaluate my life by you. He looks at me, my ability. I love that. Secondly, the word authority. Your service for Jesus must also be tested by authority. And what that means is you serve Jesus the way he wants you to serve him. I don't start my service to Jesus with me. I start my service to Jesus with him by what he asks and by what he teaches. Let me use a silly illustration. This morning in our communion time, we used bread and grape juice. You know why we did that? Because that's what Jesus used when he inaugurated the Lord's Supper. It represents his sinless body. It represents his blood. Now, let me tell you an area where I'm gifted, okay? You ready? Let me tell you an area where I'm really gifted. I make a fine tortilla soup. I really do. It is even a published recipe. It's our own church cookbook, but hey, it's a church. It's a published recipe. And I make an excellent, excellent tortilla soup. Let me tell you something else I'm really good at. I'm gifted at this. I make a mean glass of sweet tea. Now, a lot of people, anybody here like sweet tea, sweet iced tea? Yeah. Okay. Don't be ashamed of that. Yeah, that's a good thing. Now, a lot of people think the way you make sweet tea is you take a cup of room temperature tea, pour it over ice, take a packet of sugar, and put it in and swirl it. That's gross. That is nasty. That is not sweet tea. You want to make good sweet tea, you get that tea nice and hot. And while it's hot, you put the sugar in there. How much? If you got to ask, it's not enough. You put the sugar in and you let that sugar melt in that tea. And that's some iced tea. Now, that's fine. Suppose I said today, you know, I'm really gifted at making tortilla soup and sweet tea. I tell you what, let's do for communion today. Let's serve tortilla soup. Let's serve iced tea. And you see, and if I start my service to Jesus with me. I'm not asking, Lord, how do you want to be served? I need to serve him by his authority. And that's why the Bible says to obey is even better than to offer a sacrifice. Here's a third test. Attitude. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you can do a very noble thing with a very pedestrian attitude? Jesus talked about people who prayed to be seen of people. He talked about folks who gave for applause. He talked about folks who fasted and put on the fasting face so they would get attention. Paul even talked about people who would preach and teach out of a selfish ambition. They're into, you know, steeple chasing, steeple comparison, and promoting themselves and doing very good things with pedestrian motives. And so I need to ask, what's my attitude in serving Jesus? And I believe that the only motivation that lasts, and actually, I think the only motivation that really lasts in this life, you ready? Is simple obedience to Jesus because he's worthy. In Nashville, Tennessee, there's a Christian college called David Lipscomb University. And years ago, when people were debating on motivations to be baptized, David Lipscomb said something so profound. He said, the most beautiful reason to do anything is simply to honor Jesus. And in case you don't know this, this life is hard. This life will beat you up. This life will bruise you and it will knock you to your knees. And if you don't know that yet, by the time you get in your 40s and your 50s and your 60s and your 70s, you'll know that. And whenever you see somebody in their 40s or their 50s or their 60s or their 70s, and they're still serving the Lord and they're still worshiping, you can know that person has been knocked to their knees time and time again. And you know, and you want to know why they're still worshiping and serving the Lord today? It's not out of some giddy little attitude that they've never been knocked around. Let me tell you why they do what they do. They believe Jesus is worthy. That's it. They believe Jesus Christ is worthy of every ounce of energy. He's worthy of being worshiped. He's worthy of every tear that's ever been shed. He's worthy of every effort that's ever been offered, albeit imperfectly, to honor him. Ability, authority, attitude, and here's the last one, aspiration. I believe that you will be rewarded not just for what you did, but for what you aspired to do, for what you desired to do, what you tried to do, but couldn't. Because you see, so many things in life, you're not in control of. You don't have the only vote. You don't have the only say. And aren't you glad that God doesn't evaluate us just by our achievements, but also by our aspirations? The very first mission effort of this church, you listening carefully? It, quote unquote, failed miserably. We spent time and energy and prayer and money, and we had a couple selected. This is back in 1985, 86. And we were going to send them, we were going to be their sponsoring church. We were going to send them off to Haiti. And they got to Haiti, and they were there for about 3 months. And Haiti had a massive uprising, and for their own safety, we had to bring them back. And that whole thing fell through. Now, do you think when that mission committee stands before the Lord, you think when that missionary couple stands before the Lord, he's going to say to them, shame on you? Of course not. They tried. They got out of the boat. Back in 1956, a group of five young missionaries went to Ecuador to reach an unreached people. The Auca Indians, they had prepared, they had planned, they had flown over the tribe a couple of times with loudspeakers, dropping food. And on the day that they landed to try to make contact with the Auca Indians, their plane landed, and they no sooner got out of that float plane than those five young missionaries were speared to death. They never reached them in their own. Now, what they did, they opened a door for others later. You think when they stand before the Lord, he's going to say, shame on you? Of course not. They got nothing to show for it, but it was their heart. It was their aspiration. And some of you, you've beaten yourself up so much because you think, well, you know, I tried this and it failed, and I don't have a lot of results to show for this. He's going to say, did you try to lead your family? Did you try to be a light in the world? Did you try to be salt to the earth and the light of the world? You think when Noah stands before the Lord, he's going to say, shame on you for only having eight people in the ark. He's going to say, bless you, my servant, for faithfully serving for 120 years. You tried. You got out of the boat. You gave it some effort. And that puts a whole new twist on the way you evaluate and judge your, you know, success and failure kind of thing. All right. The foundation is Jesus. And there is no other foundation. And some of you today, you need to turn to Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized in his name. There are some Christians in this room, you feel pretty good about where your life is going, not in a proud way, just in a grateful way. You think, I'm trying to build a life and a ministry that's a noble and lasting thing. And some of you here today, you may say, you know, I need to recalibrate. I want some building material that will last. I need to do an attitude check. I need to tap into my abilities for the Lord. And that may be where you are today. Everybody here's got a next step. I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. Here's the thing. We all stand before the building inspector. And he will evaluate your life and he will evaluate mine. And the most beautiful words you're ever going to hear are, well done, my good and faithful servant. You keep aiming for that. Now, today, why don't you take a look in your order of worship, and you'll see a communication card. On that communication card, you can write out a prayer request. You can also indicate a desire to identify with our church family or set up a conversation for you to be baptized into Christ. And this communication card is gold. Take a moment, fill that out, and once it's done, you can just pass it to the ends of the aisles, and we will collect those cards here at the close of our service. Now, why don't we take a few moments and come before the Lord in prayer? It may be that you just want to sit very quietly where you are. You've got some things you just want to talk to God about today. It may be that you want to gather with your family or with a friend or two and pray together. That's fine. But some of our elder couples are going to be right down front, and you are invited to come down here and pray with them. We would love for you to do that. This is a wonderful opportunity. This is that time. Let's just come before the Lord in quietness today. Maybe you take that little stethoscope and you put it on your heart. And you say, God, I want my heart to beat for you. I want my heart to beat for you as passionately as it possibly can. Because Jesus Christ is worthy. He's worthy of your heart and mine. Let's stand right where we are. You're invited to come and pray. This is your time. Let's come before the Lord.